shake your body, baby, do that conga.
Welcome to the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Live at Ship Brothers Brewing, tonight's show is brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing. Here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
And a pleasant good Tuesday evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of the Licking County Locker Room. We are live at Ship Brothers Brewing. Hopefully everyone had a great and safe Labor Day weekend. Here we are in September, and hard to believe, already setting up for week three of the 2024 high school football season. It is moving along so quickly. Even had folks talking about computer playoff points last week after week two. That's how excited folks get about it. But we'll do a quick recap of some of the games that took place with our Licking County brethren, and we'll start with the game we had for you here on Kate 98.7 last Friday at Swain Field at Heath High School. The Bulldogs entertaining the Barons of Buckeye Valley. Both teams coming in with the Bulldogs at 1-0 and Buckeye Valley losing their first game to Delaware. It was a scoreless first quarter after Heath took the opening drive down to the 5-yard line and was stopped on a 4th-and-1. Then Buckeye Valley punted down to the 3-yard line, but there was a penalty against the Barons, so they punted again and went just to the 5-yard line, and that's where Heath took over. And this is what happened. Second down and 13. Gibson will roll and look to throw. He's got time. Fires and intercepted at the 10. It's going to be a pick six for Buckeye Valley, just like that. So Buckeye Valley went on top by a score of 7-0, and that's how the first quarter came to the end. The Bulldogs finally got moving after an interception by the Heath defense, and they were able to take it down deep into Buckeye Valley territory, and then Connor Corbett did the rest.
Connor Corbett on third down and goal from the 11-yard line. A couple of nifty moves once again. Takes it to the house. Touchdown. Bulldogs a point away from tying this game up.
And that was set up after a first and goal from not the 5 or 3. How about the 18-yard line? And on third and goal from the 11, Corbett was able to take it in. Then the Bulldogs had another opportunity with a short field, and they were driving down with a chance to take the lead before halftime.
Full house backfield. The triple I. It's Holloway. House call, Bulldogs. J.J. Holloway. From his fullback position, takes it in, and Heath now leads it by a score of 13-7 with 27 and a half ticks remaining.
And the score at halftime was Heath leading by a count of 14-7. Then late in the ballgame, midway through the fourth quarter, the Bulldogs back at their 5-yard line once again. They go 95 yards, and again it was a third and goal from the 11, which we thought would take care of the ballgame.
And here's the handoff. It's Corbett again. Beautiful move. 10-5. House call. Bulldogs. What a move by CC. Connor Corbett might have put the icing on the cake here.
But might was the understatement at that point, because after a long kickoff return by Buckeye Valley all the way to the Heath 36-yard line, they took a little under 2 minutes to get right back in the game.
Gets the snap, fakes handoff, now looking in the end zone, firing, touchdown. And making the catch is LaDane Jones, and just like that, it is 20-13 with 5:04 to play in the ballgame.
Extra point was good, so you have a 6-point margin between the Dogs and the Barons. And it was 4th-and-6 from Heath inside their 40-yard line. They went for the fake punt. They were unable to capitalize, which gave a short field to Buckeye Valley. They converted on a 4th-and-2 with their quarterback, Huss, picking up 2.5 yards. And then 2 plays later, ball game.
Huss with trips to the far side, looking that way, fires. He's got a man wide open, and they will take a house call for the Barons with 56 seconds to go. Touchdown to Owen Hall from 30 yards out, and we are tied at 20.
Extra point was good, and that was your final. Buckeye Valley rallies to defeat Heath in a heartbreaker at Swain Field, 21-20. And now the Bulldogs go on the road for four consecutive weeks before they start LCL play, and they have a big one coming up on the road to Wayne County, taking on Creston Norway, and one of the best programs up there in north central northeast Ohio. A couple of undefeated teams will hook up this Friday in our game of the week on Kate 98.7 at Walter J. Hodges Stadium, and that would be the host Granville Blue Aces. Beckett Long had 184 yards in the first half alone, and they defeat Clear Fork by a final of 31-14. Joey Cousins had 5 catches for 94. Jacob Culver, 7 receptions for 57. And don't count out that Granville defense held Clearfort to 63 yards rushing and just total yards of 173. Long finished 17 of 23 for 213 yards. He did have a pick. Granville's rushing attack was stymied with just 41 yards. Theo Talbot had 31 of those in 14 carries. But Granville's 2-0, and so are the Johnstown Johnnies. Back-to-back shutouts. They take care of Coshocton 39-0 at home. Johnstown so far 39-0 over Coshocton, 38-0 over Zanesville, and the Johnnies defensively have not given up over 100 yards in both games, 72 to the Blue Devils and 62 last week. So the offense running the ball extremely well, defense getting it done as well, outscoring the two opponents 77-0. So Johnstown and Granville Friday night. We'll have the pregame at 6:45 and the kickoff at 7 p.m. Without further ado, I want to bring in a couple of gentlemen to help us along on this Tuesday evening to talk high school football, because the next two teams I want to talk about for Friday night, I'm not sure anyone would have thought they would have been 2-0. But our guests from the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show, Mark Bruce and Lee Waller. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday evening.
Happy Labor Day, Brian.
Yes.
Happy Labor Day to you. So who had Northridge 2-0?
Not even Northridge fans. I'll be honest. I saw some at the fair this year and said, how we thinking this year, guys? They're like, oh, we're going to be a little bit better, but especially not opening
the schedule they had. To open the season.
Correct.
Chris in the new stadium beyond week one, I don't think they were thinking too far. I just looked back at their schedule. This is the first time that they've been 2-0 at least since 2018 or prior.
I think it was 2016 was the earliest that they've been 2-0. I don't think anyone did.
They went 5-5 one year, and then made the playoffs, lost the first round of the playoffs, but this is also equals the most wins they've had in the last 5 years.
Correct.
Right now.
Well, Coach Calhoun is doing some wonders. They beat East Knox 8-7 on a safety. We just talked about safeties. And then come back and defeat Fredericktown 19-13 to, you talked about christening a new stadium. Yep. You can't do it any better than that.
If they could play every game there, I think they would.
I think they would.
If they could move to the KMAC, they would as well. They are first place.
Default leading the KMAC.
That's true. So they're 2-0, and they're playing Coach Calhoun football, running hard, and defensively, that's what's winning their game so far.
Yeah, they're playing really tough football, and you know they never have a lot of numbers. They don't have a ton of kids. They're playing both ways. So I think that right now, everyone's healthy, right? Everyone's healthy and fresh. Can they keep that up as this season goes? Can the guys that are playing well, that frankly, a lot of them got their heads beat in the last few years, so they want to turn the tables and do that a little bit of their own, I think that'll be the biggest question if they can keep winning, right? Is can they stay healthy? Can those guys get nicked up? When you'd play both ways every week, as long as you do in close games, unless you got, think about it, that's not a team that they don't have reserves to put in, right?
Right.
If you get up
if
or
they're
get
freshmen,
down,
if they do.
Correct. Right. There aren't JV guys who can give you a break in the fourth quarter. These kids have to play every game, every snap.
And we saw injuries bite them real hard offensively, especially last year. But, and you know, they're doing those little things, but also with that small of a school, to be able to get some field goals.
Yeah.
I mean, this...
They've got a kicker.
They have a kicker.
They
it's going to play huge
it
dividends.
Matters. Yeah, absolutely.
It really does.
I think Keith would tell you that.
I think they would.
Absolutely
so
matters.
They're getting it done. They've rallied in both games after trailing, which, again, when you haven't won, how do the players respond? And they've already matched their win total from last year.
Coach Calhoun was talking about when I was here with you a couple weeks ago. We did the preview show. He's talking about, look, we felt like we made made some progress last year, but it didn't show up in the wins and loss column. We have to get it this year to show up in the win and loss column, because we can't just be close. We want to be competitive. We want to find a way to win games. That's the hardest thing to do, is when you're going 1-9, 2-8 every year, you got to figure out how to get over that hump and say, how do we get that extra point or that safety to beat East Knox in week one? How do we come back in the fourth quarter and find a way, even though we haven't had a lot of offense, neither had the other, had Fredericktown.
No,
how do we
find
we find a way to get in the end zone and win 19-13? That's what they haven't done in the last handful of years.
They got, and they're doing it so far. And taking a look at their schedule, Brian, they have Grandview Heights this week. Grandview Heights has not been good the last few years.
They are 2-0.
They are 2-0.
Okay, so
they are 2-0.
Lachey's boy must be older, because I believe
28-12 over Briggs, and then 40-6.
Yeah,
over West.
One of the Lachey boys was there. So that could
and
be
then they go up north. I think week
Toledo,
four or
Edison?
Five. That would be Mylan Edison.
Mylan Edison.
Yes.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah. So,
and I think they're even a Division IV ball club. So
we'll see.
If they could split that, I think he would be. And okay, we always love to look ahead, but both teams on Route 62 currently undefeated. They play at Northridge, which we'll have for you here on Gate 98.7.
Right. Oh, and just pick the rivalry game.
That's what I do. I mean, you kind of looked at it. They're christening a new stadium.
Sure.
And, I mean, can you imagine the buzz if both of them came into that game undefeated?
Somehow.
It would be, you know, there's tough games ahead
there's
of that.
There's a lot to happen.
If Johnstown comes into that game undefeated, they will be favored by a lot, because that'll mean that they have beaten Granville.
That's right, right,
point.
Right.
So.
Yes. But I'm telling you, if Northridge can hold their own the next 2 weeks,
yes,
I think they're
they got
for
a
real.
Shot. Yeah,
they could split those like you're talking about, and then they have Zanesville in week five, which we know Zanesville
good.
Is rebuilding in a major rebuild right now. There, I think they'll have a chance against them as well.
And the other team undefeated, Coach Frank's boys.
2-0.
Here come the Wildcats. Everyone said, well, you only won a couple games with Steele. What are you going to do? But I told a couple people, sometimes those just waiting in the wings, they have that opportunity, and they're taking full advantage of it. I mean, this is a high-powered offensive team right now, and we've always talked about, can their line hold up?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
far, after two games, they've been able to do it.
Do they have size? You've obviously been down there. Do they have the size to compete with the back half of their schedule?
At the moment, no.
Okay.
But here is what they're doing. They're excelling off their blocks.
Gotcha.
And, you know, it's quick hitters for the most part. You're not going to have
zone blocking.
Bodie step back there and wait 6-7 seconds like Marino used to.
Yeah.
But you're getting your guys out in space, because
they got guys to get in space.
Peterson is unbelievable. Again, the first play of the season, 73 yards. Yeah. 73 yards by Newark football.
I know.
That is awesome.
But they're also, I mean, from
they're a little better on defense.
They are, but hearing the games, too, they're complimentary, which is what they've always wanted to be, which every coach wants to be, especially Bill Franks. And they actually are. They have the athletes to do it. That's always my question with Newark is, do they have the size up front just for their schedule? It's a question I have with Licking Valley and Granville, in that which we have plenty of time to talk about, in the region they're in. Do they have the size to beat the big boys,
right,
to keep going down the road? With Newark, it's just, do you have the size to get through your schedule? Now, I think it's helpful.
When you run up against Pickerington,
100%.
Central, Lancaster, those teams like that, you have to be able to win in the trenches.
They're rolling out five guys that weigh, that average 285, and I don't know if Newark
does
that.
It's like a Division III college
line.
Exactly.
Newark's never had that, so that's the question.
And they have been able to get rushing yards, which they have not been able to do.
That's what you have to do. If they can't do it, if they're one-dimensional, they can't win.
And they've got over 200 yards rushing so far in two games. I think that's huge. They've got three wideouts. Our great engineer, Jim Ferguson, was talking about Austin Rose, the Ohio State recruit for baseball, making plays defensively. They had two picks on Friday. Now, granted, Mount Vernon is, but you start winning just like Northridge, that just builds the confidence. And they've got Zanesville this week.
Yep.
So who would have predicted a 3-0 Wildcats, 3-0 Groveport Cruisers
absolutely.
In week four?
Which is likely to happen. I'm not sure who Groveport has this week, but it's a pretty good
chance. Well, you knock off Gahanna last week, even
that's
in
right.
the manner that they did it. You knock off Gahanna, who's one of the better teams anywhere, probably in
they have
part
big,
of
Groveport has Big Walnut this week, who I think is 0-2.
I think
they're one.
Did they split one?
I think they did.
Okay.
Split one.
So, but You got a shot.
You
like,
do.
You have a shot, and even if you don't have Grove, if things
and
don't go
we'll
well,
find out. Groveport, Madison, Lancaster, Pickerington Central. We'll find out how far Newark's season's going to go. And then you were just talking about they have Taze Valley later in the year, who we thought maybe they, you know, that pretty even matchup. But then Taze Valley beats Bloom Carroll last week, and we're like, wait a second. So I don't know how easy the schedule is the rest of the way, but for this week, for sure, they have a chance to be 3 in a row.
And they made the playoffs last year at 2-8.
Yeah.
Granted, it was a very low seed.
There's only 17 teams in the region, I think, and they moved them around some. So, yeah, you.
But if they could get to 6-4, if they would
finish
6-4, they might sneak into an 8 spot.
Newark Wildcats home playoff game at Whitefield. Could you imagine what the maroon and the maroon and white?
Let's just say we were talking about that before you showed up tonight.
Seriously, how?
Oh, it would be amazing.
Could you imagine? I mean, the crowd. Here's the thing that I will always say about Newark fans: in the 10 years we've done this show, and I drive into the stadium every night, it doesn't matter what their record is. There's people there.
There is.
There is always. They always have a great gate. A great crowd.
The student section has been great the last few years. They were very boisterous with the win against Heights and Week One. I know they're going to be there for the game against Zanesville. So yeah, it's,
oh yeah, there's some revenge to be exacted from Zanesville.
Yeah,
the last
and
few years,
you know it's festering,
it is.
we'll see how it can continue. But you know,
being
Bodie
rewarded with good football,
it is.
And
Bodie has stepped in and just done a tremendous job. And
he's just an athlete, from what it sounds
like.
He plays all. He's played all the sports there. He was on He plays for Quack basketball, baseball.
Yep.
He does it all.
And the basketball, he was that one that you just hated to have guard you.
Sure.
He was in your face.
Yeah.
You just wanted
just
to swat him away,
he's
and he
pest.
Loved it.
Yeah.
And so
and
that's
now
who you want as your quarterback.
That's because he's leading. He's leading this team, and he's very fired up. So it's great to see. But, yeah, you've got Johnstown, Granville, Northridge, and Newark all undefeated, and I don't think anyone would have picked those four.
But that's why this sport's so great, as
it
we
is.
Talk about all the time. You never know who it's going to be from year to year. You never know. You don't. I feel you don't know who your team is truly until week three or four,
right?
Till you get some people.
And that's what I was going to say. We have some 0-2 teams right now that are going to be in the playoffs.
Don't count them out.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Don't count them out. All right, we're due for a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little LCL Buckeye. They had a rough past Friday, but there's a lot of good football with those teams. That's next, as you're listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
Now back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
And we're back live with Mark Bruce and Lee Waller from the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show, which you can hear every Friday night beginning at 9 on our sister station T100. They'll give you all the scores from about 48 counties across the state. The way you guys run down those, it's unbelievable. So how many years have you guys been doing that?
This is the 10th year of the show, which is really, really hard to believe. I'll never forget it because my son was born the first year of the show.
That saves you.
That's a really smart way to do it. I'm going to have a kid, and
I had to miss a show because I was at the hospital as he was born that day. So, I will never forget it. It's hard to believe. You know, I came back, and I did the play-by-play for a couple of years. Dave Johnson, we were doing two sets of games here at WCLT, and I was doing the second set of games. In the second year, Doug and Tom and Wally said, we got an idea. What about doing a scoreboard show, a call-in show? I'm like, that sounds like fun, because we know what it means to this area,
right?
And then when you add the 50,000 watts of T100, you're covering a big area. You're covering a lot.
We have a guy who calls every week from West Jefferson.
Yep. Exactly. Yep. You're covering a lot of really good football. I mean, you're going from Madison and Union counties all the way over to Cambridge and Steubenville. I mean, you can hear us in Barnesville over that way, and all points north and south after that. So that really is what makes the show, right? That we cover such a wide area. We cover really good football, MVL, LCL, KMAC, Mid-State League. You're getting some really good teams.
And like you said, folks are calling in care so much.
Oh, 100%.
And it's just when you hear either the dejection or the jubilation, I mean,
it is.
Yeah, we lost tonight, or we won. I mean, and that's what makes the show.
That's what makes the show. It's what makes high school football. It is. We've said it every year. We said it this year. There are few things left in this world that are the same everywhere. Friday nights at 7, 7.30, 8 o'clock, no matter where you go in this country, there's going to be lights on somewhere.
Depending on the heat.
Football. That's a good point. That's why we'll say it's 8 o'clock. But someone's playing high school football, right? It's the one thing that still happens at a time that still brings communities down, that still shut off lights. You still have people that go, oh, it's Friday night, I guess we better go to the game, right? Because that's just what you do. It's what you've done for generations. And so that's why it's fun.
And a lot of times that's the only thing there is to do.
Exactly.
In a lot of these towns, hey, it's Friday night, what else are we going to do? You know, let's go to the game.
And that's what people do. Yeah, it galvanizes, win, lose, and you just, it's always fun,
yes.
I think, most
that's
people.
Absolutely it.
And that's
what we've always wanted the show to be. You know,
yep.
A good opportunity to be fun, to celebrate these kids, to have some fun trash talk. We joked last week, someone from Tri-Valley called in after their win, and of course shared it was right afterwards, because that's how it should be.
It should be.
That's exactly how it should be. We didn't hear
from West End fans my first, like, 3 years of the show, because I'm 6 years in at
yep.
this point.
Yep.
And so we didn't hear from a lot of West End fans when there was that 39-game losing streak, but the last couple years they've gotten good. We've still realized there's a lot of West End listeners out there that care a lot about that turnaround that they're having.
We heard from one last week.
Which for good reason when they come up and beat Licking Valley. I mean, we talked about it, and I don't think it's overstated. I don't think it's an overstatement, because we can do that sometimes. I mean, this is a program that lost 39 straight games and over 5 years won five. Total games.
And that
five.
Wasn't like a decade ago.
No.
That was like within,
since this show's been
yeah,
on the air, they've had that
years.
Losing streak, yeah. And they won five total games in 5 years. They're now 1 year removed from a 10-win season and just beat Licking Valley.
Yep.
They beat a team who plays in a stadium with the name of their head coach who has more than 400 wins.
And has been to the state finals.
Exactly.
And knows how to win.
Yeah. And knows how to win. And this isn't the Valley team that's 4-6. This
no.
is the Valley team
yep.
that is going to compete for the LCL Buckeye title this year.
Yeah.
They went in and beat them in overtime.
Yeah.
I mean,
they are a blueprint, I think, for your Lakewoods and others.
100%.
How do we turn the corner? Sometimes it's just patience, but Wes Muscanum is a great. It's coaching. It's involvement the positive way from parents
yep.
and boosters that don't need to meddle but want to assist. And it is a blueprint for a lot of local small schools that it can be done.
It can absolutely be done elsewhere. It helps when you have a Rashad Cisse who's not there this year.
Right.
He's at Ohio State. But that's what right.
You start
right.
winning. Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
That's what.
And it's coaching. And then if you can win a handful of games, which is why, like, for example, Utica was getting pretty excited last year because
sure.
you finally get it right, you start winning games, and then the community starts feeling good. You get buy-in from there, and it just kind of snowballs on itself a lot of times.
Well, we talk about coaching, and we'll look at the LCL Buckeye, because there is a program that is moving leaps and bounds above everybody that has not had consistent coaching. They've had a revolving door up there at Granville, but the song remains the same, which again tells you about the administration, the players involved. They've lost marquee players, and yet the beat just keeps on going. The Blue Aces are something special right now.
They are my son's 10, my older two are older, so are getting into the athletic program a little bit. It's a full athletic department. It's not one team, and I'm seeing that firsthand. I mean, a strength and conditioning program that starts in junior high. Our sixth graders start to lift and have dedicated times with the strength and conditioning coach
yep.
for all sports. Right, and so you have sixth grade girls who are going to play volleyball. They have strength and conditioning that they can work on.
Wow.
Right, not just lifting weights, but all sorts of different types of strength and conditioning.
Yep.
It's the focus on mental health that
yep.
Granville, through their partnership with Ohio State, now has. So, how has it worked? It is that total buy-in from the athletic department that happens everywhere for all sports.
Yep.
And there are a lot of schools who do it. There are a lot of schools who are able to do it or trying to do it. Greenville has the resources and are able to execute it, and it's showing up in the football program.
Yep.
I mean, it also helps. You've had some really good coaches.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say that's the difference is, and not to call anybody out in the county, but you can point to it. You know, Utica had that issue for years. Northridge has had that issue
yeah.
for a while. Lakewood. Granville is changing coaches. Not out of necessity, but they're doing it because these coaches are really good and they're moving on to bigger jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite the luxury instead of having coaches that are leaving or quitting or sometimes being asked to leave because they're not having the success that they thought they would. All of these coaches are good coaches. They're successful, and then they move on to, and the last two coaches have moved on to big Division I jobs over in Columbus.
And are doing great there.
West's
yes. team is 2-0
yeah.
Liberty.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Not missing a beat.
They're not missing a beat.
And so that's the difference that you have. That's a luxury when you're having having really good coaches, and then they get promoted to what would some would consider a bigger job, they're going out and looking for the next guy that's going to take them to the playoffs, win a league title, whereas a lot of these other programs that they are a revolving door of coaches, so to speak, are doing that because it's necessity. You know, we've gone 0-10 again. We have to find somebody else.
And, you know, Coach Buttermore has definitely what the legacy he's left at Tri-Valley. They've continued
to win everywhere he's gone.
But you also have to decide, how much do I stay with what has worked, adding my stuff? And I think that's helped with Coach Hinton, the family tree. He knows how to win from Uncle Ron to everybody else down
that
the road.
That program changed with Justin Buttermore because he brought the defense in.
Yeah. But to
they
have
always offense.
To have what they've been able to do, physical, because a lot, even when I started calling games, it was always, well, Granville will be well, but they're soft. They are not.
No, they're not soft.
Try reading Kyle Kirby in the middle and see if that's soft. Because
and it's funny. So this year you mentioned Coach Hinton. Like, so I was able to watch the first half of the game this week before I headed in to the show, and it looked like an Amanda team. Now, Clear Fork stood him up and stopped him in the first quarter, and so they said, okay, well, we've got Beckett Long.
Yeah.
Let's just start throwing it, and they did. Now, and we talked about in the show, I think they're this team is different in the sense that they don't have Dante over the top. They don't have the you know, one guy who is going to beat most people most D-backs who are up against him. They've got really good receivers. The cousin kid's very good from Newark that just transferred in. They've got really, really good receivers. I don't know if they have that top-end speed. And so it feels like to me that, okay, we want to pound at you. We want to run the ball.
Yep.
And if we can't, all right.
Yeah, I think it's more body blows this 100%. Year. They might do it still through the air quite a bit, like when you get up against the Clear Fork and you say, okay, maybe we're not going to hit you for the big 50, 60-yard touchdown all the time. But we'll take the 6, 8, 10-yard completions all the way down the field.
And there was a perfect example of that. I was talking to a friend that we were sitting in the game. Third down and 10. They had been stuffed on two straight runs in the first quarter this last week against Granville. So they just called simple out. The receiver literally went 11 yards down the field, turned. Of course, Beckett's going to make that throw.
Yep.
He did. First down. Like, that didn't happen in high school 15, 20 years ago, right?
No.
Like, they told him where the line was. They told him exactly, like, hey, this is where you need to go. He did. He was wide open, made the catch.
Well, it did happen sometimes, but your name was Scott McMullen.
Yeah, that's a little different. So, I mean, that's also the difference, right, that these kids are just they're so much more football smart.
Yeah.
You know, they are so much better. They have more resources, the videos on the side, everything that they've got. And that kept the
drive. But they don't take it for granted.
They don't take it
for
granted.
I mean, they work hard.
They still work. Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
And even that drive you're talking about, that is the first drive they did against Watkins last year. So I'm saying, different coach, but still same style. Because I was actually with Wes when he got the call that Kyle was going to be out.
Yeah.
And there was that moment, and I even said, we can reschedule this. He goes, no, we'll adapt and we'll adjust.
Yeah.
And they did.
And
that's what I think Coach Hinton saw being a part of the staff last year and says, well, why? I'm not going to upset this apple cart, but I'm going to add little wrinkles, and we might become a more dink-and-dunk power football team because their lines are going to wear people down.
They are. They are.
And that speaks to leadership, too. The kids that are juniors and seniors every year, they don't really need the coaching staff to affect all that much. When you have effective leadership class after class after class, they know what conference they're in. They know who they're going to have to play. They're going to have to play Licking Valley every year. They're going to have to go to Pataskala and play Watkins and Licking Heights, and they know what's expected of them. They know the region that they're in when they get to the playoffs. So,
brutal.
And so that is, I don't know if you want to get into that now. I mean, but that is the one thing I worry. Do they have the size in their line? They've obviously got Kyle, but you need four more to go against Steubenville, Dover, New Philadelphia, Hartley. When you look at that region, anyone listening,
it's the toughest region in the state.
By 100%.
By far.
I mean, I want you to go to Joe Itell, go to Division 3, Region 11, and just look at the schools from top to bottom. At week 8, I bet you the top 8 teams are going to all be 8.
No. There's going to be an 8-2 team that's on the road.
Yeah. Without question.
And maybe even 9-1, depending on what league they play in.
It's insane, the teams that are in that region.
Yep. It's loaded. And we will get there. However, when we talk about success and longevity and getting it done the right way, you'd have to talk at Licking Valley. And we had Coach Boffman here a few weeks ago with the preseason deal. And I think he was cautiously optimistic about his ball club. You're replacing a Rodgers with a Rodgers at quarterback.
Okay.
But you've got Trent Markham back there as a running back. And the line is always, you know, they're going to be physical. I just,
wonder if there was a hangover last week against West Muskingum after beating Sheridan for the first time in three years. So I think this team is good. They're going to Reedy. You're very confident that they will beat Reedy. It's still a tough road trip.
I think they'll get tested, but I think that overall, from seeing Reedy in week one against Newark Catholic here at Whitefield, I think that overall, Licking Valley has more depth and probably more players, A through Z, where that may not be an easy win for them, but I can see them,
close into the second half,
yeah,
and maybe they wear them down.
And maybe going down, getting a touchdown late, or in typical Valley fashion, maybe getting a stop late that kind of clinches the game.
But they battled Granville in the first half last year. At Granville was a great ball game, and then Granville pulled away. That game is at Hanover this year, so don't count out the Panthers.
No, oh gosh, no.
And for them, I think the key is Rodgers. If they can stay ahead where he doesn't have to throw, and, he doesn't have to throw out of necessity. He can throw when they want to. He can make those comfortable, those easy passes, because we know he can always do it with his legs.
Yes.
He's one of the fastest kids on a football field you'll find. And so if he is able to stay comfortable, they can stay on schedule. To me, that's always important for
As a younger quarterback, they need to keep him clean because, the bane of young quarterbacks is, especially in big games, is if they, like a Granville, if they can force him into bad decisions, they're going to produce turnovers, and that's when your momentum is just killed.
A bad decision on Saturday morning might not be that bad on Friday night. A bad decision becomes a real bad decision real fast, and that's something a sophomore doesn't have.
Yeah.
Right? You just have never had that opportunity to do it.
You just don't have it.
So no, they're very good. It's going to be that game will be great. They've obviously got some things in between. Also because I think Watkins is one of the better 0-2 teams you're going to find.
If Watkins ever figures out their offense, I mean, look out, because they haven't played an LCL game yet. So if they can get that figured out in the next couple weeks, I mean, everybody's going to count them out, but you shouldn't, because, they have a kid that's getting recruited by Ohio State on the outside.
Yep,
they haven't been able to get him the ball.
They'll figure it out.
They will.
We are up against a break. We'll talk LCL Cardinal next. You're listening to the Licking County Locker Room, live from Ship Brothers Brewing on K98.7.
Let's get back to the Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays at Ship Brothers Brewing on K98.7.
And we're back with Mark Bruce and Lee Waller from the T100 High School Football Scoreboard Show every Friday night, 9 p.m. on our sister station, T100. After you listen to our ball game with Granville in Johnstown, which the way both teams want to run the ball, we might be done by 8:15.
You'll be done by 9 for sure. That'd be okay.
After the last 2 weeks, I would be thrilled with that. These games have gone on and on.
High school games are just going longer.
Your game and whoever Tri-Valley plays, they'll be done by like 8:30.
There you go. All right, LCL Cardinal, this one I think truly is up for grabs. Northridge and Johnstown leading the pack right now in non-league play at 2-0. Heath, I think a lot of people had them as the favorite for what they've been able to do the last couple of years. But this could be the one that goes down to week 10 of who captures the league title.
Yeah, I have no idea. Anyone who says they do know, I wouldn't believe you. But you've got to just let them play. You've got to let them grow.
Yeah.
In the Cardinal, you have to let them grow. Like, if Heath's quarterback can get some grow, can grow these next 4 weeks, watch out, right? Because we think they have the most overall talent of all the teams that are in this.
Well, and they have the ability. They've won it before. They've been here before. They have that pedigree that they know how to win the league. But again, you're starting a new quarterback and a couple new, skill players, and you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
They might come together over the next 3 weeks, or, last week might be indicative of deeper issues that they have.
Yeah, I mean, you go from 50-7 to 21-20. Yes, the opponent was better, and it was a Division III opponent, but it can be those ups and downs.
Sure.
I would say Johnstown has been the most consistent.
They have also played two of the least talented, but when you do what you're supposed to do.
When
you shut out two teams in a row, that you're never going to sneeze at that.
If Johnstown averages 38.5 points a game for the rest of the year, they will win the Cardinal.
Yes, they will. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Well done.
But I'm just saying, if that offense, because I think what we've thought for a long time about Johnstown is Mike Carter is Mike Carter. He hasn't forgotten how to coach football. He's still a good coach.
That's right.
He's still the coach that took them twice to the state Final Four. If they have the players, they've had the players on defense, I think, all along. Their defense has never been really bad.
That's right.
They have really good players. It's if they have the line on offense and they have a couple, especially their quarterback and their running back, if they have guys that can rip off those 8, 10, 12-yard chunks, they can win every game if they, you know, have those guys in place. I just don't know that they've had them the last couple years. I don't know if this year's roster is the same.
I think a lot of the line is back from last year, because remember they were coming on strong with Kane and Lindsey running last year.
Right.
I feel like this line is pretty similar.
Yep.
They've got a different running back who it turns out is moving the ball just as well.
Yep.
So, they might be it, right?
Yeah.
They could be the team this year. I just love it. During one of Johnson's first games, they had a fullback who rushed for 2 touchdowns. You had Heath last night
who had a resurgence.
Fullback.
Everything old is new again.
I mean, I would love to talk to some of these kids. Do you know, like, the coaches probably have to be like, hey, guys, this is a fullback.
Yeah.
We have to explain.
Well, I don't think at Johnstown
is.
You have to explain.
Maybe,
what
that's
it is. Because they run that same offensive
even
system.
Even when Heath went under center, I'm like, okay, we don't see this very often.
What is this?
It drives me nuts on a 4th-and-1, and you can't go under center, but
correct.
They don't at college. They
don't in
the pros. Utica,
I like seeing fullbacks.
I do, too. Oh, it's great. It's great. Utica, we haven't talked a lot about, and they could have not a great record coming to the LCL Cardinal, but don't count them out.
No, they've played tough. Their defense has kept them in games this year.
Like, I know Heath plays Norwayne, and there's a couple other pretty good non-conference games, but they have, first 5 weeks, they have the toughest schedule by far
in
the Cardinal.
Yeah,
and they haven't even gotten to the hardest two games yet of Ridgewood and Granville back-to-back, which will be probably their toughest two games. They did play Danville really tough
this
week.
They played Danville very
tough. It was 0-0 at halftime, and Danville, you know, the last several years, and including their first game this year, they typically score 30s and 40s pretty regularly. So 0-0 at halftime, we were raising some eyebrows and saying, hey, the defense must be playing well. But I think really what got them in the second half is it sounds like a lot of just inopportune mistakes.
Correct.
And let Danville score a couple touchdowns. And they were able to put up 14 points, but I heard a lot about holding penalties. I think there was a turnover or two.
Yep.
And it's, you know, it's stuff that they've got to clean up.
One of the most talented players in the county, who has started out like gangbusters in the first two games, and you just wonder, does he have enough support, is Mikey Hess from Newark Catholic. The kid he was great last year. He has started out like gangbusters, but you know folks in the county have raised eyebrows when they've given up 51 and 62 in two ball games.
He can rush it for 300 yards a game, but he can't make all the tackles.
Correct.
I mean, it's just that simple.
Even though I think he had a pick six last week.
He probably did. Yeah. Well, and he had a 65-yard touchdown catch the first play from scrimmage of the season against Reedy. So he literally is doing almost everything that he can possibly do.
They just need about 6 more.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, that's what's uncharacteristic for Newark Catholic. They're less than 40 guys on the team. It's a smaller team, so they have to play both ways.
Yep.
And they don't have a ton of size either.
And that's what I was going to say. It's a smaller team size-wise and numbers-wise.
Yeah. And when you're Newark Catholic, that's difficult, right?
Yep.
The thing that I think has always been the unequalizer for them is they were able to platoon.
Yeah.
You know, a Division 7 team that could platoon, that's unheard of most places. But for years, Newark Catholic regularly trotted out 65 guys on the football team, right? And so when you're going against the Utica,
there were quite a few years where I remember they wouldn't even dress freshmen because they had enough kids on the team that just their sophomores through their seniors, like the freshmen have their own team a lot of times.
And they're just not able to do that.
And their schedule is, I mean, they've got Valley coming up. They have to go to Mogador, which I know they've started 0-2, but let's be real, Mogador will be just fine. So before they get into Cardinal play, it's going to be a struggle. So I give credit to the coaches. These LCL Cardinal coaches have scheduled very tough in the non-conference. We talked about Northridge going to Granville Heights, then going up north to Milan Edison. So hopefully they get a charge. You like that?
Well done.
Thank you very
good
much.
Job.
I'm going north.
He'll be here all week, everybody.
So sadly, I might be. But that's where I think it's going to see who comes out of having some gut punches thrown at them to see if they can win a late title. And like you said, I don't know.
And a side note, Heath and Johnstown play each other the first week of Cardinal play.
They play the first week of Cardinal play.
So they finish at the end.
They've restructured the schedule. So Heath has Utica in week 10 now, and Johnstown has, I think that Northridge game.
They have Newark Catholic.
Or Newark Catholic,
that last week.
Yeah, they play each other in week 6.
Okay.
That could go a long way.
I don't know. honestly, well, one of the best things I think that happened for the Cardinal schools is bringing in Mount Vernon.
Yes.
Leveling out the league, so you only have to have one crossover.
Yes. Yep.
You just have to have the one, which is still great, right? Yep. Like, we still want Granville to play Northridge and Utica, right?
Yep.
You still want those games, because you know these. We know everyone. While it might not be...
they're like, maybe not every year. Yeah, no.
But it might not be as competitive, but also just like last year when Utica beat Watkins.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Licking Heights.
Yes. Sorry. I mean, Watkins is Division One.
Yeah.
So if you're the crossover,
yeah, they got that was how they made the playoffs.
Exactly.
Last year,
so
they
if
got
you
a
get
ton
that
of
opportunity to play Heights or Watkins, you've got a Division One or two school that and those points that come with it. So
and the
that's
kids want to do it.
They want to do it absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's I think that's real positive. And if you want to play more. Schedule them. Like, I mean, a couple of years ago...
Johnstown played everybody a couple of years
Johnstown
ago.
Johnstown and Heath did that. They played the entire league, and that's fine. Go ahead and do it.
And I wonder how that is going to shape up coming down the road, because we know changes are still coming. We know the OCC divisions are locked in, I think, for 3 years before they can make changes. I remember Quack telling me, but it's a certain amount. But now you have the new Catholic League forming.
Correct.
With Central and Northeast. So
yep.
I think scheduling is going to get very interesting of how much they want to travel, how much if you can do it, you know.
And I don't think you have to because you have 16 teams in the playoffs, right?
So points aren't really...
You can still get in.
Everything's made up and the points don't matter. It's like, whose line is it anyway?
You can have a loss or two, right? Like, Licking Valley Sheridan makes me so happy. The fact that Tri-Valley's playing, I would love to see Granville and Tri-Valley play every year.
In a regular season
the
game.
Buttermore Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, to start the year with the Buttermore Bowl would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, go ahead and do it. And there's no reason why you can't. It's a preview for the playoffs. You see who you are. You know, some sort of LCL, MVL
scheduling.
The
only thing I can think of is in that region specifically, if you do it, you might
That's
be
true.
Putting yourself behind the eight ball because if you risk a
you
second loss,
a team in the region. Yeah.
You know, you might find yourself at least away game at the beginning of the playoffs, and you might find yourself not in the playoffs at all.
It could be. So.
Yeah.
But back to the Cardinals.
Yeah.
No idea, right? I mean, there's absolutely no idea. These next few weeks, while they're not in league play, I think that'll let us know. And, as we said earlier, injuries, right?
Yeah.
These are the teams, Utica, Northridge, even, I mean, Johnstown, all of them. Even Heath.
I tend to
if
go
Connor
with
Corbett
experience
goes down,
coaching.
They're in trouble.
They're
big
absolutely
time trouble.
In big-time trouble,
yep.
Right? And so they've just got to stay healthy. To win a league title, you got to have some luck. And that luck is your guys staying upright and being able to play every week.
And this might be a kind of a stupid question, but, you know, some programs really live for the postseason, and I understand that, and they I'll pick Steubenville for an example, because they're not really – they're part of the Ohio Valley, but it's
but
still –
not really.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, you know, they live for the postseason. But I think even when you expand it to 16 teams, I think for a lot of schools – and I'll throw the MVL in there with the LCL – that league title can mean more to them than
it still
the first
means a lot,
round.
100%.
And some people think that's not the case. But if you come out of an LCL Cardinal with how competitive it is this year, those kids are going to remember that.
You'll remember a league title for the rest of your days.
Yes. I mean, which is why my alma mater, Logan, you know, we're in the OCC.
How excited are they now?
They are thrilled. The players are now. We'll see how it works. But they've gone 12 years not being
ever
in the league.
Ever since the SEOAL died.
Yeah. And
say that three times.
Well, you have truly nothing to play for.
They had nothing ever in any sport, you know, not just football.
No.
You have nothing in any sport. So what?
Yeah, I mean, look what it means to Northridge. Do you think Northridge doesn't want to win a league
title right
now with
for
where
the first time since an NBC
you think
title in 2005?
Yeah.
Is that really
Utica doesn't want to win one?
They recognized two teams when they opened the stadium, 99, which I will. I've blocked that out of my memories. In 2005.
Ironically, I blocked out 2005.
Those were their last two league titles in football. They haven't had one since. Utica hasn't had one since.
They've had a couple playoff teams.
Correct.
Since, but
right.
They have
not
had
a league title since they won the NBC.
But to have that there as part of your...
To be there.
Yeah.
It would absolutely
Utica's last one was what, 2001?
Was our year, 2001.
Was that year
there. So,
gentlemen, thank you so much as always. Appreciate it. We'll see how this rolls out. And, of course, when we get to the middle part and last part of the season.
We'll argue about the playoffs.
We'll argue about the playoffs, but you guys will have the projections in ready to go. Always a treat when I get off the game to listen to you guys and see who's won and things like that. Thanks for coming down tonight. Appreciate
it. Good to see you. We allow people to turn over during the commercial break if your game is close, just like it was this week.
Yeah.
So we say you're welcome. You have 2 minutes. minutes to go listen to Brian, then come on back.
To know I have your blessing,
that's always great.
That says it all right there.
I'm sure you really feel privileged there.
By that point in the game, I ain't feeling much at all. I just got to be honest. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. We'll wrap up this edition of The Locker Room next as you're listening live from Shep Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
338!
Hey, football fans. As you know, a winning team starts with preparation, guidance, and the ability to work as a cohesive unit. Let Par Excellence STEM Academy instill confidence, social skills, and teamwork from the beginning to ensure your child's success as they progress through their grade levels, kindergarten through sixth grade. At Par Excellence STEM Academy, we'll help put the student in the student athlete. Our classes and lunches are free, so enroll today. Find out more at parexcellenceacademy.org or 740-344-7222.
At Licking Memorial Health Systems, our mission is to improve the health of the community. Our facilities utilize state-of-the-art technology that surpasses the standard for community hospitals to provide excellent health care for Licking County residents. Our healthcare technology features surgical robotics, advanced patient monitoring systems, cutting-edge imaging, and more to enhance patient outcomes, recovery, and safety.
Everyone says it's the journey that matters. Not so at Shep Brothers Brewing. Shep Brothers is a destination in the heart of downtown Newark that is so spectacular, there's nothing like it anywhere. Come aboard to experience incredible appetizers, outstanding burgers and sandwiches, and the one-of-a-kind beer wall. What? That's right. Don't wait on a bartender anymore. Head to the beer wall and design your own tasting flight. Shep Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville, Quaker City, St. Clairsville, and Marietta, or online at LashleyTractor.com.
At Husqvarna, we want you to enjoy cutting the grass, and that's why we build easy-to-operate residential zero-turn mowers. Husqvarna Zero Turns provide superior performance and maneuverability, are comfortable to drive, and easy to maintain. They feature powerful engines, durable cutting decks, rugged frames and casters, and ergonomic controls. Everything you need to make the mowing more enjoyable. Learn more about Husqvarna zero-turn mowers at Wright Brothers Power or online at WrightBrothersPower.com.
Life is sweeter with dessert.
When someone asks, "Where's the local bakery?" you say, "Desserts Bakery, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Your family will love the sweetness of dessert.
There are better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Visit your Coyote dealer, Buckeye Valley Equipment, 3570 National Road in Hebron, or online at BuckeyeValleyEquipment.com.
This is the Licking County Locker Room, live at Shep Brothers Brewing on Kate 98.7.
It probably is a good idea not to have us have a show, because we would talk for hours and hours and hours, Mark Lee and I, and not get the commercial breaks in. So it's good to have them as special guests because they know their stuff. Appreciate them joining us so much here on tonight's Locker Room Edition. Our next Locker Room will be, as usual, the following Monday on September the 9th, and we will bring in the Granville Blue Aces to highlight their fall sports in their Granville Athletic Department. So that will be next Monday night at 6:30 right here at Ship Brothers Brewing. And, of course, we will be on the air from Granville coming up this Friday as the Granville Blue Aces 2-0 take on the Johnstown Johnnies. The Johnnies also unbeaten after two contests. Here's one of the LCL crossover matchups, and it should be a good one. Granville heavily favored to have a great season. A lot of people thinking they could go 10-0. The Johnnies finishing 2023 on a huge run, and it's continued to carry over into 2024. With a record of 2-0, and again, have not given up a point in two ball games. So defensively, they're getting it done. Offensively, they'll be getting it done. But Granville will be a whole nother challenge for the Johnnies, as the Blue Aces have come in doing what they want to on both sides of the ball, getting turnovers and then scoring through the air or on the ground. So it should be a heck of a county matchup that we'll have for you here Friday night with the pregame show at 6:45 and the live kickoff off at 7 p.m. and then turn it over to the high school football scoreboard show after we're done for all the scores with Licking County teams, as well as teams from Muskingum, Perry, Franklin, Delaware, Notch, you name it, they'll have it for you right here on Kate 98.7 and the scoreboard show at T100. And then, of course, we also have Buckeye football coming up this Saturday as well. The Buckeyes taking on the Broncos of Western Michigan. Ohio State starting off the year with a convincing win over the Akron Zips by a final of 52-6. The Buckeyes now taking on the MAC representative Broncos, who actually played Wisconsin very close and led that ball game in the fourth quarter by a score of 14-13 before the Badgers were able to rally and get a win at Camp Randall by a final of 28-14. The Big Ten overall, of course, now 18 teams in the Big Ten Conference, and they went 17-1 in the opening week. Again, a lot of cupcake opponents, but you did have Penn State win at West Virginia, USC beat LSU, and also your one loss was Minnesota losing at home to North Carolina. But we'll have high school football for you Friday night, Buckeye football for you Saturday, right here on Kate 98.7. That'll do it from Ship Brothers Brewing. This is Brian Mays. Thanks so much for listening. Have a pleasant and good evening. You've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room right here on Kate 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7. Tonight's show was brought to you by Shamrock Printing, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Par Excellence STEM Academy, Buckeye Valley Equipment, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Wright Brothers Power Equipment, and Ship Brothers Brewing.